So you have to choose a superhero. Which one would it be? Would it be Batman or Superman? Is it going to be the Man of Steel or is it going to be the Dark Knight? Which of those two would you say is your favorite? All right, put it a different way. Which of those two could you relate to more than the other? For me, it's Batman. It's Batman because Batman, he's a man. He's a human being. He's got cool gadgets and he's incredibly fit, but at the end of the day, he's just another guy. Superman, well, the name is even wrong because he's not a man at all. He's from a different planet. For crying out loud, he can fly. Bullets bounce off of him. He's got super strength. I can't relate to that. I mean, if you will, any one of us could be Batman. For some, it's a bigger stretch than others. But we're all human beings. We could be Batman. Not one of us could be Superman. So, I can relate more to Batman. He's my hero. And so is Job. Job in chapter 3 became my hero. I admired him in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, but it isn't until chapter 3 that I could relate to him and he became my hero. In chapter 1, he loses everything. He loses all of his wealth, he loses all of his children, and he ends the chapter by saying, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Incredible. Incredible faith. Chapter 2, now he loses his health. It says that he is covered from head to toe in painful sores. And how does chapter 2 end? When his wife says, curse God and die, he says, what? Are we only to take the good things from God and not the bad things as well? Wow, what a godly guy. I mean, he is the essence of godliness and patience at the end of chapter 2. I admire that. But in chapter 3, he lets it all hang out. In chapter 3, he just goes on this rant. It's actually called a lament. He even curses the day that he was born. 5 times he asks why in the chapter of 5. He says the guys who are already dead, he's envious of them. Why would God even allow him to live if he had to go through all of this pain and all of this turmoil? He became my hero in chapter 3 because I can relate to Job now. He's not a Superman who can withstand all the pain and the living hell that he went through without so much of a blink of the eye. He's a man in deep pain and anguish and sorrow. I can relate to that guy. I can learn from that guy. We all can learn from that guy. At one point or another, each of us have faced tragedy in our life. We've faced loss. We've faced deep pain. How do we do that? How do we make it through those times? What I'd like for us to learn from Job this morning is how to cope with sorrow and how to survive sorrow. First of all, we cope with sorrow by going through it. You cope with sorrow by going through it. Now, most of us don't want to go through it. We don't want to deal with the pain. We don't want to deal with the messiness of all the emotions. We'd rather go under it. We'd rather go around it. We'd rather go over it, but we certainly don't want to go through it. And I also think there's something culturally going on, at least for my chair, as I watch people, and that is culturally it seems that if we let anybody know that we're hurting, or if we stay in pain, or if we're angry, or we're frustrated, that somehow we're seen as weak. Or in the church, if you're angry or frustrated or you have deep sadness in your life, that somehow you have less of a faith or that you're not trusting in God enough. I'm not sure where all of this comes from. All I know is the end result is that when we go through painful situations in our life, what our tendency to do is to try and avoid it, which we really can't. All we can do is sort of postpone it. Right? Or we try and stuff it down inside. We try and bottle up all of our emotions and we put on a front and try and be strong for everybody else, but we don't want anyone to see that we're in deep pain. I've actually heard several people And I cringe each time well-intentioned people say to someone who's just lost a loved one, lost a spouse, lost a child, right? Someone in the conversation, they'll say, well, life goes on. Oh, not for them at that moment, it doesn't. I know that you don't mean it when you say that, but you know what? You just communicate it. Listen, I gave you 15 minutes to grieve. It's time to move on, pal. I gave you a day. It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. Hasn't that been long enough? It's time for you to get over this and move on because life goes on. And we've got all kinds of other catchy phrases, right? Somehow we're supposed to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. We're supposed to just soldier on. And a lot of other unhelpful, unhealthy cliches that reinforces that you don't go through sorrow. You go under it, you go around it, or you go over it, but you don't go through it. Unresolved grief is unhealthy. Unresolved grief is unhealthy. There's a whole boatload of things that go along with that. If we never deal with issues in our life, if we don't deal with situations and pain in our life, we try to avoid it, that's all we can do is avoid it for a time. We just postpone it. And at some time, it's going to come out more than likely in very unhealthy ways. I shudder to think some of the things that we deal with today because we didn't resolve something from our childhood, some issue in our marriage, some issue in your career, some issue in another relationship. They just stuffed it down deep inside. You tried to pretend that it isn't there. I wonder how many self-esteem, anxiety, phobias that we deal with today because of unresolved issues in our life. Research is mounting. More and more studies are showing that many emotional and physical ailments can be traced back to unresolved issues in our life. Because you can't keep stuffing down the emotions inside. God didn't create you that way. God created you as a physical, emotional, spiritual being. And the emotions that you have and the emotions that you experience are what it means to be a human being. Somehow we've got this false notion that we can't show our emotions, that we can't have sorrow or anxiety or pain in our life, that somehow we're weak, or worse yet, that somehow we're not trusting God. That's not how He created us. Unresolved grief is unhealthy. What we need to do is to learn how to lament. Lament is a biblical term. There's even the book Lamentations. Lament simply means a passionate expression of grief. A passionate expression of grief. Not I'm feeling bad today, or I'm feeling sorrowful today, but it's raw emotions. Oftentimes it's anger, it's frustration. It's when people are exasperated. It's people like Job who just let it all hang out in chapter 3, wishing that he hadn't even been born. A passionate expression of grief. And it's all over Scripture because that's how God created us. We can go back to Moses. Moses has this lament. He says, oh Lord, he says, why have you mistreated these people? Now Moses, he speaks face to face with God. Personally, I wouldn't say this to God's face, but Moses would. He says, listen, God, what are you doing? Why are you mistreating my people over here? I don't get that. Like, that's a lament that he has. You got Gideon. Gideon, when he doesn't win the battle, what does he say? He says, I don't get it. He says, if the Lord is with us, why did this happen? In other words, God, if you're so mighty, if you're so great, then why did we lose? We don't get that. That's a lament. And then, of course, you got Job. Job, the whole chapter is a lament. I mean, was that not hard to listen to? And I don't mean the reader, by the way. I mean the content, right? I mean, the content is harsh. It's dark, right? It sort of is summarized in verse 11. Why did I not perish at birth and die as my mother, as I came from my mother's womb? Now, how sad is that? He wished he hadn't been born. So God, if you're gonna put me through all of this, it'd have been better that I wasn't born. And then he longs to die. He says, why can't I be like the kings and the rulers that are already dead because they're at peace? They're at rest. Why can't I be like them? Right? He's lamenting. There are 150 psalms in Scripture. 65 of them are psalms of lament. 65 of the 150 are psalms of lament. What I'm trying to say here is lamenting is biblical and lamenting is healthy. It's healthy to express our emotions, to not try and stuff them down inside, not to try and bottle everything, because that's not how God made you. If we're going to cope with sorrow, we have to push through it. Jesus himself said, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Who gets comforted? Those who mourn. Not those who bottle it up inside. Not those who hide it. Those who mourn, they're the ones that get comforted. We cope by going through the sorrow. Now, I want to have one clarification here. I'm not saying, so we go through the sorrow and then we never hurt again. So we have some painful event in our life and we push through and we go through all the emotions and then we never give it another thought. No, that isn't at all. There are some events in life that are so painful, they are so severe, you will never forget them. They will always be painful, but you can cope with them. I am positive that Job never, quote unquote, got over losing his 10 children. Years down the way, I'm sure that a tear came to his eye as something would happen who would remind him of his 10 kids that he lost. There are some events in life that are so severe, they're so traumatic. It's not as if you're just going to forget all about them. But you can cope. You can cope by going through the sorrow. Even that famous psalm, Psalm 23. What does he write? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You got to walk through the valley. You can't go around it, you can't go under it, you can't go over it. You got to go through the valley. An Old Testament professor at Concordia Seminary, he used to be, Reed Lessing, he said in every lament, there's sort of a formula that's followed. It isn't sort of 1, 2, 3, but there's a basic formula that's followed. He turned it into an acronym. And perhaps it would be helpful for us to know that acronym, to know how it is that we lament, and how can we learn how to lament. It's off the acronym of CARE. So each one of them then is one aspect of the formula, what it means to lament. It starts with complain. What? That doesn't sound right. We don't complain. We don't want a bunch of whiny butts, right? No, we don't complain. That doesn't right, right? No. We're not talking about whining. We're not talking about complaining in that way. What we're talking about is though expressing our emotions and expressing our frustration and expressing our anger over the situation. We see that in Job. Job is expressing raw emotions in his complaint, wishing that he hadn't even been born. Moses saying to God, you're mistreating my people. Gideon saying, if you're with us, then how come it isn't going differently? It's you saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. It's you saying, I wish I'd never heard the word cancer before. It's you saying, I can't stand one more day in this relationship. It's that kind of frustration, that kind of anger that is expressed in a complaint. And so often we think that we can't do that. God has broad shoulders. And God created you as an emotional being. And if you're angry and you're frustrated, that can't stay inside. It begins with a complaint, an expression of our frustration and anger. But then we move to an appeal. We appeal to the character of God. So we don't just appeal to God for help, but we look at the character of God. What do we know about our God? He's a loving God, a compassionate God. He's full of grace and he's full of mercy. So we lay down the gauntlet of our complaint, but then we appeal to God's grace and mercy and compassion. And then we remind God of his promises. Remind him of all the promises that he's made to us. Now, it's not like God forgets. We're actually reminding ourselves. Remind God of the promise when he said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God, you remember, you said that you would be with me to the end of the age. God, you remember, you said that you would give us your Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit would comfort us and that it would dry the tears from our eyes. God, you remember the promises that you made to me, that you would walk alongside of me, that somehow everything would work to the good of those who love you. You remind God of his promises so that in the end you can express your trust in God. You express your trust. You start out with raw emotions of your complaint to God. So you appeal to the grace and mercy of God. You remind God and yourself of his promises. And finally, you trust God. God, I don't like what's happening. I don't understand what's happening. It makes no sense to me. But you are a faithful God. And I will trust you. What it means to lament. If you look through the scriptures, you'll see those elements in most every lament that is there. It isn't as easy as 1 through 4 because, let's face it, sorrow and grief isn't easy. It's messy and it gets all jumbled up. But the elements are still there and they're important for us when we lament so that we can cope with the sorrow. We cope with the sorrow by going through it. We survive sorrow by looking past it. We survive by looking past it and having a hope for the future. In other words, the pain may never leave us, but we've learned to cope with the pain, but we don't have to have it so that it's debilitating to us, that we're just wallowing in pain forever. Because now we're going to survive the sorrow because we're going to look past the sorrow. We're going to look past the event and know that there is a future, that there is hope. In other words, you've got to go through the pain so that you can see the future. You go through the pain, you deal with all the messiness so that you can see the future. Look past the sorrow and see your Savior. Because that's the source of our hope. That's the source of our future. We look past the sorrow and we see our Savior. The Savior Jesus, who is described as a man of sorrows. The Savior Jesus, who knows pain and agony. Look at the man on the cross. Hear the expressions of pain and agony. Not just physical pain. Deep-seated spiritual pain, as he took all of our sorrow, all of our pain, all of our wrongdoing upon himself to set us free so that we can see past the pain, past the sorrow, and know that we have a future. There are some that say that Psalm 22 is Jesus's lament. Now, Psalm 22 was written by David, and it was written hundreds of years before Jesus walked this earth. And yet, as I read through just a few of the verses, tell me if you can't hauntingly hear Jesus and see Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? That sounds like a complaint. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Near the end of the psalm, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and feet. They divide my clothes among them. They cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly and help me. Hundreds of years before it happened, the psalmist describes Jesus on the cross. And it's really his lament. A man of sorrow and pain to release us from our sorrow of pain so that we can look past the sorrow and see a future. All of us deal with these things in our life. Job is a guy we can relate to. Perhaps Psalm 30, verse 5, really summarizes everything that I wanted to say to you this morning. It does it a lot quicker, a lot more succinct. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for a night. It may seem like years. It may seem like decades. But it won't last forever. For joy comes in the morning. Just as joy came on that third morning when the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. Even Job would declare, I know that my Redeemer lives. That gives us a future and hope. We can't stuff down the sorrow and the pain. We cope with sorrow by living through it and pushing through it. We survive by looking past it. Or weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, there are times this side of heaven where we have to deal with pain and tragedy and just hurtful events. I pray that by the gift of your Holy Spirit that you would give us the courage to face that vast array of emotions and that we would go through the sorrow so that you could reveal to us that we have a future, that because of Jesus and his sacrifice, that there is hope for tomorrow. In his name we pray. Amen.